This morning our text is going to be Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews 11 as a whole is often called the Hall of Faith, and that's because there are all kinds of folks from the Old Testament mentioned in it, and each person is mentioned because of something that they did because they had faith. Now, today we won't actually read about any of those Old Testament people, and that's because the chapter actually starts with a beginner's working definition of faith. Hebrews starts with the Hall of Faith by telling us what faith really is, and that is then followed by a foundational belief that all people who are going to have faith in God must have. And so, here's what faith is, and here's the very first thing you must have faith in. That's the idea with our text today. And those two things are going to be plenty for us to think about for one day. But also, we need to first remember why this chapter on faith is even here. If you glance back into chapter 10, which we went through the last part of chapter 10 last week, you should be reminded of the warning and the encouragement found there. We are warned that if we choose to willfully sin, if we choose to give up being faithful to Christ in any way, then we should expect one thing, one outcome, and that's fiery judgment in hell. But since none of us want that, right, and God doesn't want that for us, and the writer of Hebrews certainly doesn't want that for the original readers and all those who had learned from it down through the ages, he went on to encourage the folks and us to stay faithful. And he encourages us by reminding us of how far we've come already. The original readers had so much invested in being a Christian. And so he reminded them of that. He reminded them that they were happy to sacrifice of themselves. They were full of joy, although they had suffered for being a Christian. And so his line of thought in the last parts of chapter 10 kind of goes like this. Don't give up, or you'll go to hell forever when you die. But also don't give up, because look at how far you've already come. Renew your zeal for the Lord. Think about what it means to be faithful for the Lord. Don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Instead, just pay attention while I'll tell you what faith is all about. Let me inspire you to stay the course by teaching you about faith and examples of faith. And so he writes in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good testimony." The elders obtaining a good testimony will be the list of people that we'll read about, Lord willing, next week. But it begins, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And this passage can be hard for us to grasp sometimes, typically because of the way we use the word substance. Translated substance in the King James and the New King James Version. Typically, when we think of substance, we think of a substance. We think of its scientific meaning. Substance is a particular kind of matter with uniform properties, right? A substance, right? And that concept of substance can keep us from fully grasping what's being said here. And so many other Bible translations, versions, they'll use the word assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And the word assurance does come close to capturing the idea, but yet it's still not quite there. And part of the problem is the Greek is a compound word, and a substance is a compound word that corresponds to it. And the thing is, we do have a lot of other compound words that begin with sub, and they'll help us with this. Where does a submarine go? Under the water, right? And so that's simple enough. What is subterranean? Right? It means underground. Well, substance. Substance. It's a standing under. That's what the word means, standing under. So faith is the thing that stands under the things we hope for. Okay? Faith is the foundation of our hope. Faith supports our hope. Think about the Clarysville Bridge, right? One of the tallest bridges around. If hope is that bridge heading west and up in elevation, then faith is those giant, massive pilings holding that bridge up, right? So if hope is the bridge, faith is the pilings that hold it up. Now, that means that our hope will only be as strong as our faith. And every one of the people that we'll read about in this chapter are people who acted on the hope that they had in God and his promises to them, but that hope was supported by their faith, their trust in God. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, but also we need to add the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. The word translated evidence literally means conviction. It's the conviction of things not seen. It's the proof of things not seen. Faith gives us conviction concerning unseen things. Faith is not based on what we can see or examine, but it's also not what many folks would call blind faith either. Faith is based on convincing evidence of things that are not seen. Faith is believing in things that we cannot see, but it's also based on the evidence for those things that we cannot see. And then that faith then motivates us to act or behave in certain ways. Think about it like this. Because we have faith in things that we cannot see, we then do certain things because of hope or trust. We trust that certain actions will get certain results. That is hope, right? But underlying that is the fact that we have faith in things that we cannot see. And here's the thing, and I hope this will help us to understand faith even better. I want us to think about faith outside of the Bible once, away from God and faith in God and that kind of stuff. And I believe that by doing so, I believe that we can get rid of a lot of false ideas that people have about faith. Because by looking outside of religion, we can see that everyone has faith. Every last person has faith. I propose every last person who has ever lived has faith. Now notice I didn't say that they have faith in God. We're not talking about God right now. We're just talking about faith. Right? So based on what the Bible says that faith is this, everyone has it. Everyone operates by faith in some way, shape, or form every day of their lives. So let me try to illustrate this with several different illustrations here. First, let's say you go to the doctor, right? So you go to the doctor and perhaps there's a type of doctor you can't even pronounce their name, right? And so you can't even say the person's name. Now, did you witness the doctor going to school? Were you there with them? No, you didn't witness that, right? You didn't witness them getting their education, but yet you trust the diploma, the evidence of something not seen, right? That's evidence of something you didn't see. Diploma is evidence of things that you did, that happened, but you weren't there. You didn't see them. And then the doctor gives you a prescription for medicine. And you've never seen how the pills were made. You don't work at the pharmacy either, right? You didn't witness all the exact ingredients going into those pills. You didn't witness the testing, any of that kind of stuff. But you trust the available evidence of those things you did not see. And then you go to the pharmacy. Depending on the pharmacy, you may have never met the actual pharmacist either, right? Yet you trust that somebody back there knows what they're doing, even though you can't see it, right? And then the attendant gives you medication. And what do you do when you get that medication? You take it, right? You take the medication. Why did you take that medication? Why on earth would you do that? Well, you did it because you hope you'll get better. Or you have a hope, right? You hope you'll get better. Your hope for a particular outcome caused you to take the pills. And that hope and its accompanying actions happened because of your trust, that's faith, right, in all of the unseen things that are part of that hope. Now, that is living by faith. That's living by faith. Now, it's not God. It's not faith in God, right? So it's not faith in God, but it's definitely living by faith. And the fact is, we can't get through a single day without living by faith. Some people want to make faith some kind of mysterious thing. It's not at all. It's very practical. Faith is one of the most common elements of our lives. When you flip the light switch on, why is it? It's because you hope the lights will come on, right? Why is that hope even existent? Well, what makes you think you can just flip a light switch on and the lights will come on? It could be, well, I've done it in the past, but I mean, you can't see all of the wires. You certainly can't see the electricity that travels on the wires, right? You can't see the power plant in most instances. Yet your hope is so strong that you're shocked if the light doesn't come on. Think about that. Why is that, right? And that's because you have faith in the electrical system that you can't see. You can't see the electricity, but you believe it'll work, and that is based on the evidence. And since you believe in it that it'll work, you take certain actions based on that belief, that hope that the lights are coming on, and so you flip the switch. It's living by faith. When you get in and you start your car, you trust that the engine will start. You trust that the safety features will work if there's a collision. You trust that you trust in all the men that you never met who designed your car from top to bottom. You trust in all the pieces and the parts you may never have seen, nor do you really know how they all make it work, right? When you get on a plane, do you have hope that you'll land safely? Yeah, right? And for most folks, their faith in the commercial airlines is so strong that they just accept that they'll arrive there with no problems. Their faith in a pilot who they don't know, never saw him go to school, it's pretty strong to be riding at 30,000 feet, right? People put faith in everything. They put faith in financial assets and their governments and themselves and traditions and family and history, science, medicine. The point is, everyone lives by faith. And so the question is not really about faith. The real point here is all about the object of faith, the object of faith. And so here in Hebrews, it's a matter of getting us to think first about faith and how it functions, but also to start applying the concept of faith toward having faith in God. You see, much like these Hebrew Christians, we too live in a world of filled with different religious beliefs, kinds of doctrines and biblical interpretations, but none of that matters if we don't really see the unseen. What we really need is simple, trusting faith in God and His Word. Until faith is real in us, all that religious activity is nothing more than a moral way to live based on the traditions that we've been taught. The Hebrew writer wants better things for us. We should want better things for ourselves. We want a faith that sees the unseen, a faith in God that truly lives. And so now that we've noted how we put our faith into all kinds of things, let's think about how we do that with God. Do we really believe in our unseen God? Do we really believe in God and His Word without a doubt? Because that's what it takes. That's what we really need if we want to get this Christianity thing right. We will never sacrifice of our lives. We will never fully deny our fleshly desires and live like Christ until we have true saving faith in God. And that's because it's only those who actually trust in God and all the things that they cannot see. Only those who are sure that He'll give them what they hope for. Only those who are certain that the things they do not see are real. Only they will actually live the way Jesus would have us to live. And the people that we'll read about next week in the rest of this chapter, they all exhibited that type of faith at some point in their lives. It doesn't mean that they're all examples to follow. I mean, Samson of all people is in the hall of faith, right? And so it doesn't mean we emulate everything they did, but because he believed, he did that, right? He had that faith, very simple. But here's the thing. Before Hebrews actually begins, before any of the original Old Testament people were alive, Hebrews lays down something that everyone must believe first. In Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Speaking of faith, the writer begins with an event that no one has ever seen. God himself, when he's talking to Job at the end of Job, says, were you there? Were you there? Were you there? And the answer is no. Job's just got to keep listening to God ask him. No, you weren't there. You weren't there at all, right? The first example of faith is at work here is the faith that all of the faith is built upon. God created something from nothing. An unseen God created something from nothing. It's the first of 18. We'll read 18 times next week by faith. By faith, by faith. All the other examples are of the Old Testament characters, but this example is one that includes original readers as well as us today. In every other example, right, the individuals mentioned express their faith in a particular set of circumstances. Certain circumstances will never experience that kind of stuff. They had different relationship with God under the Old Testament. But yet, every single Christian is called upon to exercise their faith by being firmly convinced that the creation is the work of God. And that only makes sense. It only makes sense because we have no other choice from Scripture, for one thing. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The very first verse of the Bible. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Colossians 1, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And finally, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Now, we should easily see how faith in God's creation of the universe fits the definition of faith that we started with. Faith is confident that the creation we see is really the product of what is not seen. Creation is the work of an unseen God. He made it all out of nothing. And we know that has to be the case just logically, because we live in a world where something doesn't come from nothing, right? This had to come from somewhere. It came from God. We can see intelligence in creation. We could spend weeks on that kind of stuff. But why is the creation of the universe so important for faith? I was thinking about that. You know, well, the first thing is, the very first thing that we're told in the Bible is God created the universe. And so, and faith believes God by believing his word. So the second thing, another thing tied to this, is the good news of the gospel. Get into the New Testament. It actually begins at creation too. Now, if you follow the Bible timeline in the biblical text, at first it really wasn't necessary for the apostles to emphasize the fact that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, because the Jews already believed all of that, right? So they didn't have to convince them of that. But when you get into the Gospels, when it's being preached to the Gentiles, it was necessary to begin with creation, which there is. Paul in Athens, he had convinced there is a God, and he created the world. That was the very first thing they needed to know. But yet still, why? Why is it so important when it comes to faith to start with creation? There's a bigger reason. And it's like this. All of those other examples of having faith that I used earlier, all of those worldly examples, they've all got the potential to not work out, right? The doctor that you trusted might not be a very good doctor. Ask Dick. He's met a lot of bad doctors recently. Right? And so there's a lot of bad doctors out there. And so, but you put your trust in him, he might not be a good doctor. The electric company may not always keep your house supplied with electric. Your car will not always start, and some of the safety features may not work. Those big jet airliners, occasionally they fall out of the sky, don't they? Right? All of those worldly examples of faith that we live with every day can and will fail us at some point. But, in contrast to that, when we realize that God is greater than the entire universe, when we realize that out of all of this universe, it is all at his beck and call, that there is nothing in all of the universe that can keep God from fulfilling his promises to us, well, with that thought in mind, our faith in God should be unstoppable. Hebrews is reminding us, when it comes to our salvation from sin, when it comes to our hopes of living in heaven forever, when it comes to sacrificing our fleshly desires in order to conform to the word of God, when it comes to giving the Lord our very best with humility and joy, we don't put our faith in something or someone that can fail us at all. We put our faith in the one true God, creator of the universe. And so, if God's word tells me to behave a certain way, and by doing so, I'll be rewarded a certain way, then I'm going to do that because I can absolutely bank on it, right? His promises are as good as promises get, and so I'll behave accordingly. I'll live by faith. The very first verse of the Bible presents us with a crucial choice. God created everything that is. And so that means he's the ruler of the entire universe. And we learn from there that if we don't come to him in faith as our Savior, well, we're going to end up standing before him in terror as our judge. And Hebrews doesn't want us to have some kind of temporary, flimsy faith that gives up. God wants us to have a faith that endures to the preserving of our soul. He wants us to cross the finish line. And such faith, as we'll see in the many examples of Hebrews 11, is very down to earth. Like I said, it's very practical. It makes sense. It's logical. God hasn't made this tough at all. He has sustained this faith, the saving faith, has sustained the people of God through thousands of years in every sort of difficulty you can imagine. And it will sustain us in whatever this world has to throw at us. If you believe that God is able to save you from your sins and give you a home in heaven, then please act on that belief by obeying his word. If you've been baptized into Christ and you've gone astray and you realize, you know, I'm not as faithful as I should be, thinking about God and how great he is, right? Repent. That's easy enough. God says, change and I'll take care of you. The Lord will give you the forgiveness. He's faithful to forgive. And you go on living stronger and stronger in your faith. If you've not yet been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, right? Well, then by all means, change that this morning. We'd love to assist you. So if so, you please respond by coming to the front as we stand and sing.